Welcome to today's episode of State of CRM podcast. We have a special guest today, actually, Greg Blon, Director of Partnerships and Alliances here at Tiny Clues. And we have an interesting topic to talk about, something that's been really relevant in the industry in terms of there's been lots of announcements of new products, capabilities, and a lot of articles and things written about the topic, and that is CDPs, and not just what they are, but also what is the future of CDPs and how are they evolving over time? How should marketers be thinking about leveraging them? What are some of the benefits and pitfalls of using them? So Greg is an expert in the space. He's been talking in a lot of conversations with different CDPs in the industry and kind of exploring different options as it relates to benefits for clients. So, Greg, I think I'll just turn it over to you by starting with a question. What is a CDP for some of the folks in the audience who might not be as familiar with it?
Hi, Matt, and thanks for inviting me. So CDP, if I use a definition from the CDP Institute, that is a reference in the industry, a customer data platform is a package software that creates a persistent and unified customer database that is accessible to other systems. And that's creating a lot of buzz right now. And all B2C companies are now facing the decision whether not should I invest or not in a CDP, but why should I do around the CDP space? Should I buy a CDP or upgrade my marketing cloud to become a CDP, or should I do something in-house? And that's, yeah, I think everybody can relate to that problematic right now.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know that it's something that marketers are thinking a lot about. It's definitely not just within sort of the customer data sphere, but even within advertising as well. There's a lot of disparate data sets, people trying to make sense of their data essentially so that they can get it together in one place, make it functional so that they can use it for marketing purposes. It'd be interesting to hear a little bit around, why are marketers even thinking about this? Like, what are they looking to get out of a CDP in terms of investment?
That's maybe the most important questions, Matt, because if you can look at the buying personas of a CDP, it's not only the marketer. In fact, a CDP is the holy grail for an organization, because the three foundation of a CDP, it's that data ingestion, making sure that I put all my data in one place, and especially for enterprise, it's already a mission in order to break the silos and between the different departments, different stacks possibly. Then foundation number two would be the identity resolution. When I make sure that I put all my data in one place, I can in fact identify Matt in my CRM that is the same Matt as in my service cloud. And then of course, when you've got all the data in one place and you manage an identity challenge, you can use that customer data for marketing activation. And what we have observed in the last, let's say, 2 years is CDP have made huge noise and investment around the first two pillars. So the data ingestion and the identity resolutions. And in fact, a lot of CDPs started from an expertise in database. And that's what they were very, very good at, and pivoted a little bit or renamed the what they were doing, but that's where they were doing it. And in fact, there was an interesting paper published by Forrester at the beginning of 2020. That was the capabilities CDPs need to deliver value for B2C marketers by Joe Stanoff and Stephanie Liu. That was in fact pointing that CDP were maybe too focused on the plumbing part and less on the third aspect, that is the marketing activation. So I would say it's still a challenge for marketers to understand and actually view themselves ahead on how they're gonna use a CDP, because very few CDPs have actually mature marketing execution capabilities that you can't do with your existing marketing stack.
Yeah, that's interesting too. And I think, like, you know, just from like a cost benefit perspective, you know, obviously marketers are looking a lot into making heavy investments in CDPs, not just from the perspective of what it costs to actually to engage with one, but the cost of implementation, getting your data in order, ingest, like allowing the CDP to ingest it, implementation, all of that stuff. So ultimately what marketers want is value from activation. They want to be able to drive conversions, drive awareness, all of the KPIs that the marketers are looking to achieve. And they must in some way think that a CDP or an investment in that from a time and revenue perspective is going to pay off in some way. So it seems like this activation piece is obviously hugely important for marketers. I mean, that is ultimately the end goal, is effective activation to drive results. So why do you think it is that marketers are spending so much time and investment in platforms that only really get you 2/3 of the way there from your perspective?
I would say there's a massive stress on the market related to the disappearance of third-party cookies. Knowledge that your first-party data is massively important, and you need to tap into that. But the marketing activation that is embedded in the CDPs, and it can be from the major marketing clouds like Salesforce or Oracle, Adobe, or some pure player CDPs like Amperity or Optimove. The ability to leverage the data that you manage to ingest and collect is in fact tailor-made for real-time engagement and to be able to react and personalize on different channels, clienteling, making sure that you can apply some, I would say, personalization on all your touch points. But to successfully apply that data, and especially if you look at long-term history in terms of purchase, in terms of if you want to apply AI to that data, it's actually we are not very far in terms of our tech capabilities, and it's really similar to, for example, if you take the CDP of Salesforce, the capability in terms of audience building you have in the customer 360 audiences from Salesforce, that is their CDP, they are very similar. It's just an audience building that you have, where you do have more attributes to query, but at the end of the day, you still have a human at the end. I would say, in fact, when I will build my audience for my next handbag campaign, in fact, of just selecting the people who bought handbags, I will select the people who bought handbags, but I will add also people who have done that or that and that. But the packaging around how can we enable the marketer in order to do a better job, in my point of view, we are still quite far ahead. Let's also put into consideration that just the data ingestion and identity resolution is already a challenge. And some companies have implemented a CDP, but they have just not yet been able to make sure that my Salesforce Service Cloud and my Salesforce Commerce Cloud and my Salesforce Marketing Cloud and my, Magento and something else are able to talking to each other. And even if you're using the same stack, and even if you're using Adobe for your marketing, for your commerce and so on, I mean, most of those big players, they grew through acquisitions and acquisitions of very large companies, very mature companies that have got a legacy in terms of data. And that make a huge challenge to be able to bridge those different stacks. So In fact, if you, and I pointed Salesforce, I pointed Adobe, but it's just everywhere, I guess, is the same. It's just for many companies, the data ingestion and identity resolution, they are just not there yet because that's a huge project. And they have not focused themselves yet on the marketing activation. And for me, that's a big warning when you do that kind of investment, because you don't have a 360 view of what will you do with your solution.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think, like, you know, your point around some of these larger companies almost Frankensteining their way to a solution for marketers is interesting. But, you know, they're not the only players in the space. I think there's examples of independent CDPs as well. So from your perspective, you know, these independent CDPs that have sort of grown their own technology over time and actually focused development on that one particular area, do you see them as having a potential advantage over these large companies that have sort of acquired their way to a solution and pieced it together? Are they able to solve for some of these gaps that you've been mentioning so far?
I mean, pure player CDPs, I mean, if you go back to the CDP Institute website, and they've got a listing of CDPs, and there are hundreds of CDPs right now on the market or calling themselves CDPs. So it's also difficult to understand who is a pure player CDP and where do they come from. A lot of companies, because we saw it during the DMP wave. It's a new wave. So a lot of companies want to surf it. So some pure player CDPs are actually tag management solution. That's because they were collecting browsing data, decided, okay, in fact, we can collect more data. And then we're going to try to sort out the identity resolution and push that data to other systems. Some companies were more on the marketing activations and decided to, okay, we're going to try to fix the IT part. So it's difficult to judge pure player CDPs because there are so many, and I would say they all have their own level of expertise depending on what you're looking for. But that's, there's one thing that is interesting in terms of pure player CDPs is that what we are actually seeing is that a lot of them are getting acquired, and it's going to be interesting to see in the ecosystem the next 12 or 18 months is what the direction of those pure player CDPs. Is it being acquired like the travel CDP Boxever that has been acquired a couple of months ago? So it's there's also a major market shift around, okay, is it a long-term play on those pure player CDPs?
Yeah, that makes sense. It seems like, I think your analogy to DMPs is really relevant. You know, we saw a lot of consolidation in that industry, and then there ended up being, most of the DMPs were either part of a larger parent company, you know, one of the major tech companies that always come up in conversation, or a few remaining independents that just were able to scale effectively. So I wonder, to that point, if we'll be seeing a similar consolidation and reduction in just the sheer number of options from a CDP perspective. But it sounds like, you know, in terms of functionality, there's still potentially, you know, some limitations in terms of the flexibility that they offer. And it sounds like, even though some of the CDPs may specialize in collecting data from online or vertical specializations, for example, for the travel industry or retail, that it's still not potentially solving that activation challenge, like getting your data in one place, connecting it from an identity perspective, getting easy access to it, et cetera. So is there, you know, thinking about versus a hard-coded, you know, heavy platform CDP, is there potentially another way marketers might be able to benefit from some of the same functionality, but also be able to more effectively and flexibly connect into activation solutions with potentially that layer of intelligence that you were talking about, which I think is something also that, you know, we haven't touched on as much, as the fact that once you have all this data, you need to be able to exercise it in a way where you're using it intelligently to segment, to target, to develop customer first marketing, to achieve your business goals, et cetera. So, you know, are there any other ways marketers might be thinking about this as we sort of evolve forward, or is this going to go the way of the DMP where everybody's going to have to end up using one of the major ones that remain, that ended up winning out in the end?
Yeah, I think it's in the last, let's say, 24 months, I had a lot of different conversations with large enterprise, mostly retailers, but some also travel operators. And at the beginning, it looked like there was only two options. Either I invest into a CDP or I build it in-house. Both solutions were quite risky, because investing in a CDP is a huge commitment to a single vendor, because you will be locked in for a very long time if you decide that your single point of truth will be that specific vendor. Or you can decide to do it internally and do everything internally. And I mean, you can view CDP at what has been being called for a very long time, data lake, data warehouse, and actually you can do it internally very, 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 very well, but it's very costly, especially when you start to tackle issue of machine learning. How can I pipe that data to different systems for marketing activation and so on? So what we are seeing more and more is a kind of a hybrid approach. It's doing it internally. So, I mean, when you're enterprise, you can't buy a solution that is one size fits all. You will have some kind of personalization. And even if you buy CX Unity from Oracle, that is, they've got great products in terms of cloud and great expertise and so on, but you will need to adjust it to your specific need if you're a specific retailer. So what we have been seeing is companies that are building what could be called like a headless CDP would be a CDP using bricks from cloud vendors like Microsoft Azure, AWS, Google Cloud, in order to design the architecture that will be right for the organization and tap into, let's say, experts in the field in terms of cloud, in terms of machine learning, in order to use a kind of a best of breed approach for the investment on, database, storage, compute, and so on. And I mean, Microsoft, Google, Amazon are way advanced than other vendors right now, but be able to assemble the different bricks depending of the organizations, and also having the ability to connect to different systems. So meaning that compared to the big commitment to a large vendors like Salesforce or Adobe or Oracle, where you will actually consume the marketing activation different features and blocks of that specific vendor, with a headless approach or more hybrid approach, you can actually use some best of breed targeting capabilities, some BI software that are doing a fantastic job for your specific industry. So you can actually build your own CDP that will be adapt for your needs, and not only your needs right now, but also for the week ahead. So you're not betting all your money on one option and hope that their roadmap will be aligned with your needs for the next 2, 3, 5, 10 years. You actually have the ability and the agility to adapt to, I mean, to what the business will in the near future.
Yeah, and I think that adaptability is really interesting. And I mean, I think it goes without saying that not only in ad tech and martech, but the pace of business moves so fast now. If you think about the state of the world 5 years ago from a marketing and advertising perspective, things were very different, even in the realms that we're talking about. And now, you know, we're potentially facing a cookie-less future and things like that. They're all going to be impacting how marketers can use data. And my understanding is some CDPs are very much getting ready for that world, and other ones are still very limited in terms of sort of how they're prepping for that. And I think, you know, one thing that you did mention was flexibility as well. And I think the idea, you know, of a hard-coded, you know, formal platform, massive CDP that has so many restrictions is you're sort of locked into the functionality and capabilities, to your point, that they develop. It sounds like with a cloud approach, they've not only just developed solutions for brands and marketers for them to be able to effectively and flexibly onboard, integrate their data and use it for activation, but they welcome development and partnerships from capabilities throughout the industry that allow marketers, to your point, to sort of decide what the capabilities are that they want to tap into based on their needs. And it's not just for marketers as well. I mean, it has implications for IT, for HR, for business development, for business decision making, all of that different decisions that you need to make that data can help you with. So I think that's really interesting. I think one thing that might be helpful for some people who aren't as familiar with the space is you mentioned a little bit around building in-house data lakes, in-house where or like data warehouses, et cetera. In terms of like the building blocks within a cloudless or a headless, excuse me, CDP, that might be an alternative for marketers looking for that flexibility. You know, what are those building blocks potentially that they could tap into? What are the sort of the components that marketers would need to think about accessing when engaging with one of these cloud-based solutions?
So the opportunity cost of the decision to move to a CDP is massively important, and especially because, I mean, especially large companies did not wait to have CDPs to do marketing. So if you take, in fact, enterprise, they may have 6, 7, 10 different marketing layer in order to do push app, you know, to email, web personalization app, and so on. So the simply to be able to say, okay, I've got my very complex marketing stack that is not talking very well with each other. How can I resolve that? So the having a CDP on paper is a way of making sure you can link all your different systems that you have already chosen, and making sure that each system will benefit from that overall intelligence. That's the theory. In practice, it's not the case. It's very, very hard. And in fact, most of the major marketing clouds that are building their CDPs are biased because they will try to cross-sell, upsell their existing client base, and their long-term objective is not to connect an open ecosystem. It's to be able to making sure my client are paying me the most and having a seamless experience between my different clouds or different products. It's just maybe a pragmatic view, but I guess we we can be honest on that point. So having a cloud-based approach through Microsoft, through Google, is a way of tapping into different APIs. And using my Airship that I use for PushApp, with Salesforce Marketing Cloud that I use for email, and my SAP ERP, and all my different investments that I already have, I can tap into the different APIs in order to convert my data from my different silos into one place. If you take Google BigQuery, the tech advance they have in terms of storage is just fantastic. They've got at least 2 or 3 years advance compared to, for example, AWS, and a lot of advance compared to some other cloud vendors. So it's tapping into an expert in the field of the storage. And you can use another expert or the same expert in terms of machine learning capabilities to make sure that, okay, in fact, if in my database I've got, I've been able to assemble all my customers, I've got some first names and some genders, and some genders are not filled. I mean, you can use some bricks of machine learning in order to predict what would be a gender correlated to a certain first name. So you can, in fact, enrich your database using some bricks, either on the that Google or Microsoft own, or used by vendors that would be on their marketplace, or that we'd be able to query into BigQuery in order to make sure that your storage is improving using the best of breed solutions all around. Then you've got your let's say your different sources. You're having your CDP that you're building according to your specific needs. Then, especially if you're an enterprise, you won't move or at least not in the same time the 6 or 10 different marketing execution layer that you have. So you also need to have the capability of both sending the different audiences and sending the right data into those different marketing stack. But you also need to have the decisioning layer in order to be able to orchestrate those different audiences based on GDPR constraints, based on what is your marketing agenda, what is the priority in terms of bidding from one stack to the other. So it's really a tough job. So you need to, and that's what we believe at Tiny Clues, is that we believe in ecosystem approach. We believe in experts in the field that will be able to help enterprise, is in retail, finance, media, in order to use the best out of this world, and not just commit to a one size fits all approach that can't work in reality.
Yeah, and I think that was a great explanation, and I think just a really interesting just a description of basically how that flexibility can work, and the way these systems are set up as well, from my understanding, is it makes it very easy through API connections for partners essentially in the ecosystem to constantly evolve, update, push updates into the platform, and everything sort of exists in this flexible ecosystem. So to the point around future proofing and sort of locking yourself into one solid solution, the cloud solves for that in the way that due to the nature of itself, it's always going to be self-evolving because that's the way that it's been set up. So marketers don't really need to worry about, are they betting on the right horse and what am I going to do in the future if that horse loses the race? Rather, they're in a place where they can sort of make that decisioning in the moment is in terms of like which best of breed solutions they want to tap into. So I think really interesting. And I think, just sort of like clear differentiator between sort of the solid hard-coded CDP platform versus more of the flexible cloud infrastructure. I think sort of one final question for you, and maybe a bit of a provocative one. What do you think in terms of the future, like looking ahead 5 years from now, do you see sort of the CDP world going the way, kind of bringing it back full circle to what happened to DMPs, or do you potentially see a different route? Like in terms of who wins and who loses the CDP race and what marketers eventually opt to invest into, what does the future look like in your opinion?
I think CDPs are something very real and something that will continue. I don't see it as what we saw for DMPs. But I think there will be a lot of deceptions around CDPs in the next 5 years. A lot of CDPs investments are based on a roadmap and a PowerPoint rather than actual proof points. And I'm not pointing any fingers, but as you say, some bet will pay off and some not. And that's a huge commitment when you actually pick a single vendor. But I think that will depend from one organization to the other. Some companies would be perfect, and I think especially for mid-sized companies, a full stack approach may be perfect for their needs. My opinion is that the larger the organization is, the more complex the data infrastructure is already, and will continue to be. How complex the business objectives of the different business units and is just impossible to do with what we call a CDP right now. So I guess that concept of CDP will evolve in the next couple of years in order to be more open and be able to be more agile and flexible depending of the specificities of what enterprise have on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting prediction. And it sounds like you might be down the right path, but I guess only time will tell. And I think, you know, it's a good opportunity as well for the audience to chime in. So feel free to comment, send us a note. What do you think in terms of where the future of CDPs are headed? How are you currently engaging with them or exploring the possibilities and different options that you might want to engage with in the future? What sort of challenges do you think they'll solve for you? We'd love to hear directly from folks in the audience who are thinking about this currently or potentially in the future. Greg, I just want to thank you so much for your time today. That was a really interesting insight, or a great new topic for us to explore, and look forward to having you back in the future.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you for listening to our latest episode. If you enjoyed this week's topic, and we hope you did, let us know by leaving a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, and don't forget to share it with your network. See you all next week.